I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
If you're a diehard sports fan or sports fanatic, then this is the place you want to be. You're now listening to the Bromigos Podcast, the best place for all sports everything. So pull up and let's go.
You heard the man as usual, Bromigos Podcast in the building. And you know, always, I'm Price, joined by my boy Rob and my boy Visky. And today we have a usual banger of a show. You know, we always coming to y'all with some great shit. You know, that's just what we do. We are going to give y'all a little bit of NBA Finals recap, NBA draft recap, the formula to winning. Is there a real formula, or is this just fiction? Is this just whatever? Then we have to talk some MLB, a little bit of NFL, Aaron Rodgers, because you know we can't wait till football get here.
Football
get here. And we're going to have a poll question for you guys at the end of the day. Can you be a singular great if you've never put out a solo album? And all of that today, Bromigos Podcast. We're going to jump right in. Remember, like, subscribe, tell your people about us, because you're here with us now, and we're going to lock in. Let's go. Gentlemen.
What's up?
NBA Finals. You know, Rob? There's a certain someone on our podcast who he was going for the Indiana Pacers. But, you know, sometimes you just outpace yourself. You can't be out there chasing waterfalls, you know. You got to stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to, you know.
And you got to turn the TV down, too.
Yep. He can turn the TV down, too, because he over there giving away WWE spoilers to y'all. Oklahoma City.
I muted it, so ain't Thunder. No spoilers.
Yep. Oklahoma City Thunder, the champions, you know. OKC, Shea Gildress, one of four to do what he did. NBA Finals, regular season MVP, scoring title, all that good jazz. One of four. Him, Mike, Kareem, and who else did it? Magic Johnson, I want to say?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but Hall of Famers.
No. Yeah, it was straight Hall of Famers. How it said, how it went down. I know that our homeboy right here, you know, he's hurt. He's hurt. His face didn't make it. You know, sometimes victory just takes.
I got a couple of reasons, you know.
You got a couple. I'm gonna let you go ahead and say what your couple reasons are. You know, what happened for y'all? What
all right. Well, look, keep it short. You know, all right. There's a term that I like to extend to you all that you might have not heard of in the fraternity sorority world. You know, you know, it's kind of like when you join a sorority or a fraternity and you kind of skip part of the process. You know, they kind of call them paper, if that's what you want to go by. And that's what I feel, you know. We have paper champions currently, you know. And I wanted to do my research before I let this go, you know. So as I went on social media, different platforms, you know, it was really Thunder fans and Pacer haters tag teaming against the rest of the NBA world. So, and we were all pretty much in agreement that this was probably the first year that the number one favorites, the number one overall favorites, had the most help from the league. Now, you know, when underdogs do it, it's explainable. You know, underdogs, you know, they had help, you know, this and that. But when you are the number one favorites and so many things happen, I mean, I'll be keep it real. We all know. Anybody that watched that game, they knew. Tyrese Halliburton, he was going for 40. He was going for 40 that night. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They was going to lose. The whole aura of the way the game was playing out. If Tyrese Halliburton do not go down, it might have been over in the first half. You know? And you know, if I've never watched a Thunder game all season, and I had to predict how their season went based off this playoff run, I really question, did they really win 68 games? Or did Adam Silver hand them 68 games? Because let's be real, the only reason Tyrese Halliburton got injured in the first place is because Adam called up the big extender, Scott Foster, to screw us out of game four. That's the only reason. That is the only reason. Come on now, we got paper champions. Only Thunder fans and Pacer haters acknowledge this. Out of the past 25 champions, I got the Thunder dead last. I don't see anybody they beaten out of the past 25 champions. Mm. Let's be realistic. I watched them. Come on, how you call yourself great when it took you 7 games to beat a team who everybody say shouldn't even been there? Mm. If they shouldn't even been there, it should have been over in 5. But I'm not going to put it all on that because I have my Mount Rushmore of the Pacer bums of the finals.
Mm.
Let's talk about it. This is my last thing on this. Indiana Pacer bums of the finals, Mount Rushmore. Let's talk about Miles Turner. Nimhard. Then you got OB Toppin, looking like he OB Bottom. 0 points? Miles Turner, you almost went 30 more. How does Tyrese Halliburton get more points than 3 people combined that played the whole game? That ain't making no sense. And I'm like, let me pull up my little sheet here for my last list.
Mm-hmm.
And as a semi-Pacer fan, because you know that's my number 2 team. I'm Lakers all the way, so don't get it twisted. Miles Turner, right. We don't want you in L.A. Stay over there. Mm. Don't you sign an extension because you done ruined your chance to come to play with Bron and Luka. Don't even think about it.
Oh my!
6 points in game 7. Mm-mm, we don't want you no more.
Mm.
So right here we have Naismith. How you have more fouls than points, my guy? You over there crying on the bench? No, you need to be in the gym. You need to be practicing. Naismith, Turner, Obi Toppin. Combined for 9 points in 30 minutes. Come on now. That's unacceptable. Way unacceptable. Now, McConnell, Nimhard, y'all, you know, even Mathurin with his 24. Y'all tried. Y'all did what y'all supposed to do. Oh, and outside of them 3, my biggest bum of the game 7, because as the number 1B or 2, 1A, 1B, Pascal Siakam, unacceptable. When you see Tyrese Halliburton go down, 16 points I needed a 30 piece. 16, you disappeared. I had to check to see if you was even on the floor. What's going on? Bum. That's my 4 bums of the game 7 for the Pacers. Mm-hmm. Pascal, Naismith, Turner, and OB Bottom, because you was on the bottom. 0 points in 20 minutes. I could have went out there and got 2. And I ain't even in shape.
Mm.
That's all I got to say about that.
So, with that being said, I got to say this. I understand his frustration, but you know, Shai Gilgeous, MVP, Shai Gilgeous, finals MVP, Shai Gilgeous, NBA champion, Shai Gilgeous, scoring title, leader, all of that good shit. He won this year. I understand, you know, that you're frustrated, Mr. Vinsky, but y'all lost. Now, whether it would be because of a blown out wheel from Tyrese Halliburton or not, it was God's plan, okay? It was God's plan to see the thunder shine, okay? That's all it was.
Illuminati, tell you. He saw Adam saw it. He called the Illuminati. He say, "Look, we got to blow out Halliburton." The fix was in since game one. They weren't supposed to win game one, and the fix was in.
So
go ahead, Rob. I see something turning. Go ahead, Rob.
You're saying that the Illuminati and the NBA work together to strain Tyrese Halliburton's calf.
You heard him. You heard him.
Okay. Okay. Guys,
don't call me a conspiracy theorist.
I won't. I mean, I know you are. Look, we all have our conspiracies. Look, I said that man Tyrese was winning because of white women and white jerseys. All right. I still hold on to that because I don't think they wore white jerseys for the rest of the series. So I think that kind of, you know, remains true.
Blue.
So they were scared. What I will say, I cannot put an asterisk on this Thunder title because the thing about it is, look, every NBA champion along the lines have had a team that they came up with, or those teams that basically got to that point had some team that they came up with that basically had somebody that was a star that was hurt. Like Boston, what, last year, basically the top two scorers. We talked about it on the show last year. The top two scorers on those teams all got hurt. Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell, Indiana with Tyrese Halliburton, the Knicks, like all them niggas got hurt. Like every step of the way, somebody got hurt basically in some form or fashion. Or years prior, like you can basically go down the line of who basically got hurt or was impeded by something or a suspension, like in 2016 with Draymond, where basically this impacted the series. So no, I can't put an asterisk on the Thunder. This team was actually good all season, and they basically had the winner's mentality, the warrior mentality, you know, pun intended, to basically go out and basically win this. And I got to give credit to the Indiana Pacers because those motherfuckers had heart. For them to basically see Tyrese Halliburton go off and then get hurt and then still basically keep that score as close as it was at halftime, dog, I wanted to see them niggas win just for that. Like, I was like, dog, there's no way you can basically be like, man, this team, I could basically downplay what this team did because, dog, them motherfuckers had to have heart to basically do that kind of shit. So yeah, no, I speaking as the, you know, the middleman of this, you know, group that we have here and kind of rule with, you know, an iron fist and basically be as objective as possible, it will always be fuck the Pacers. But it will always be respect the Pacers from now on because of what they did.
Does that sound like middleman to you?
Nigga, I try to give your team some goddamn credit.
Does that sound like middleman to you?
like no. Yes. That sounded like middleman.
I called Nate that night because I called him to get it over with. I called him. I was like, look, get it over with. Lay it in. You know, I know you want to give me the business. I called him. You know, out of respect. Now, a random nigga, you know, we probably would have been cussing them out. But I called my homie. I was like, come on, give it to me. Let it out. You know what I mean? I was prepared for him to dig into me, you know? You know? And I was like, unbiasedly. But honestly, Adam Silver, you robbed the NBA fans of the greatest underdog story ever. And I seen it. Once the Pacers won game one, the fix was in. You seen it. Adam Silver did everything he could to get OKC over the top. And let's be realistic. You know, they're not going to be memorable.
Now we're being realistic.
They're going to be just like Toronto. Every time we talk about NBA finals, Hell, I think every time people got to remind me, Toronto won the 2019 finals. Because, hell, I still think the Warriors won. Because that's how unmemorable they were.
I think it's because anything before the pandemic kind of fucked a lot of our minds up. But, yeah, you know, proceed.
This run was so great by the Pacers that it is going to overshadow the Thunder even at actually winning the title. And that is, honestly, that might be my biased opinion. But hey,
I don't think that's wrong.
Yes, unbiased. Can't take nothing away from them. They in the books. You know, the Thunder are going to be right there in stone as NBA champions. Shai Gilgeous, finals MVP. In my book, I got an asterisk, but hey, that's just me. You know, and anybody else who's not a Thunder fan or a Pacer hater, we got asterisks. But that comes with it. They're mad. They're young. They're mad. But that comes with the territory. I'm a Lakers fan. You know how many times I got to hear about the 2001 Game 6 Western Conference Finals between us and Sacramento? You know how many times? That's 20 years later. I still hear about it. You know, you gotta defend yourself. That comes with winning. You know, so I do hope
the Mickey Mouse title too.
Man up and take it in. And that's another thing. Alex Caruso, mail us our goddamn ring back. You gonna talk about
You can't answer that
goddamn ring back.
That ring has an asterisk next to it. We gonna leave it where it's at.
If it ain't real, put it in the mail. Send it back to L.A. You don't deserve Alex Caruso.
You like T.I. with old girls and trying to take the chain back. You calling Alex Caruso Lulu, my nigga.
Trying to snatch his chain back to get this hell going,
bro.
Nah, we ain't having that.
But yeah, it's all love and shit. But honestly, this is my last take on it. Instead of creating and this is not a biased opinion. This is just, you know,
of course not. Opinion. Of course not.
Instead of creating a baby, the face of the league, the new baby face, I think they have created the next villain. Based on just what I was reading on the internet, they're already discrediting them. They're already like, oh no, it got an asterisk, this and that. You know, just reading how people think. It's basically Thunder fans already just defending themselves. And I don't know if he's going to embrace the villain role. Like me, I like it. I would be throwing it in people's face if I was Shai. I would be so ignorant with it. I would embrace the villain at this point. And honestly, I think because of what happened, because of the run, Tyrese Halliburton has just shined so much of the baby face, you know, I'm using wrestling terms, of the baby face persona in this whole playoff run that Shai and the Thunder are just going to have to embrace the heel role, the villain role, and run with it. You know,
I don't think they got it in them.
I mean, you know, you're right. They might not. Sometimes you got to, though, embrace it. Be like, yeah, fuck y'all. I got my shit. What you got? You know, and I'm coming for it again. You know,
I think it's a team full of, I don't want to say nerds. They just don't really want to rock the boat, which is fine. Like, most people don't want to rock the boat, but like, I don't think they're gonna be able to embrace it, because with Bron, Wade, and Bosch, like, they embraced it because it was like they had no other recourse. They had to. Everybody felt like, hey, these youngins, all they try to do is try to buy a championship and all this kind of stuff and all that. Like, they had to embrace it. Now, I did have seen more people say, like, oh, well, the Thunder, all they do is keep hacking. And that's, people say they got great defense, but all they do is hack, which I don't know if that's the case. But yeah, it's still to where it's like, I don't think that they're going to be able to embrace it, because I don't think they're going to care to embrace it. And I don't think that, and coming from a place like Oklahoma City, where it's like, who gives a fuck about Oklahoma City? I think it's going to be hard for them to do all that.
I can see that.
That's a good point.
I can see that. But all in all, shout out to them. They won it. Next year's up for grabs. Next year's just up for grabs.
And the trades, we don't know who we're going to be with. So,
yeah. And that leads me to slide into what happened more recently in the NBA draft. I'd like to first stand on my soapbox and say, good job, Pelicans. Good job. Jeremiah Fears, McQueen, Derek Queen, we're good. We're going to be very young, and we're looking to do something. And I feel like Jeremiah Fears, if he develops his three-pointer a little more, he can facilitate. Derek has every upside except being a high defensive motor, which Yibes is. You can put them two next to each other. We no longer have CJ there. I still have Trey Murphy.
That was questionable for me.
Getting rid of CJ? You think getting rid of CJ was questionable? This is the same man who used to go out here.
Just from what I witnessed, he bring.
Nah, bro. Look, let me tell you what CJ brings. Stress and heartache to your parlay. Okay? Do you know how many times I done put this man for 12 and he went got 9 and shot 15, 20 shots? And I'd be like, you got 9.
Oh.
And you done shot 20 times. I was like, at some point, you just got to try to run to the rim and hope and get a foul, though. Just get a foul. Do something for me. But then he has these random nights where he'll go off 40, 50 points, and you would be like, where was this whenever I needed it? Where was this whenever I needed it? And I'm cool with getting rid of the inconsistency. Plus, he had a lot of money left, and I'm not going to say he's not worth his money, but he's not worth his money to us anymore. Maybe to Washington. Maybe to Washington, True. They might love him. I'm cool with getting Jordan Poole. I think we're going to reel him in. Him, Jeremiah Fears, Zion. If Queen starts next to Yibes, we move Zion possibly to the 3, and we work that out, we could have a nice team. Plus, we'll see if we move DeJounte Murray or if he decides to stay. We have a fairly nice team here. Fairly nice team.
The one thing I could say about Jordan Poole is that if he goes to another city where basically it's like he's on city 2 of like baddies and like ain't really basically come out here with a Anthony Edwards size amount of kids, like, that's, I have to basically commend that man for that, because I don't think I could. Like, my reflexes, I feel like, are good, but I don't think they're that good. You know? And so that's what I'm saying. Like, you go from New Orleans, you go from D.C. to New Orleans. That's like going from Valhalla to Mount Olympus, like, as far as baddies go. So, like, good on you, Jordan Poole, for basically being able to stave out children and child support.
Yeah, you got to stay away from that, my boy.
Salute.
You got to stay away from that. Now, I don't know if y'all saw, but the trade has went through. Lonzo Ball for Isaac Okoro. Lonzo's headed to Cleveland.
Interesting.
Whoa.
If he's healthy, that just gave Cleveland the two-way playmaker defender that they need at the one that can defend the one and facilitate and get up off the ball. This could rock, because now I'm looking at, what are you going to do with Darius Garland?
That was going to be my next question. Like, what's going to happen with him? Because, I mean, if we're the fifth, we all get drunk. So I'll be being like, if basically Lonzo Ball could basically stay healthy, it's like, we might need to just pull up for that point. But like, are they basically going to move Darius Garland? Because I did hear that was going to be the case.
I'm not going to lie to you. I might move him for a couple reasons. Lonzo contract is only $21 million. Darius Garland's contract is $36 million. Darius Garland isn't that great of a defender, and he gets picked on a lot because of that. Lonzo Ball can defend. He can rebound whenever he's healthy. He's 6'7". We're talking about a 6'7" point guard versus a 6'1" point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need him to be super offensive. I need him to facilitate, get downhill and shit because I got Donovan Mitchell.
But do you need him to start? That's like, do you need Lonzo to start? Because I mean, he only played like 25 minutes or 22 minutes a game last year. Really only played like 35 games.
But that's the genius thing. Cleveland plays five in, five out. He's probably going to hover somewhere around 29, 30 maybe, which works for him. Because he's going to have somebody there to take minutes up off of him. So he doesn't have to worry about playing 30, 36, 37 minutes a night. That's what I do love about how Cleveland runs the team. So if you can get production up out of him, I'm getting rid of Darius Garland. I will throw this out here again. I don't know where you're sending him, but Darius Garland, I'm going to be totally honest with you. If I'm you and I want to piss in their cereal, I'm going to Orlando. I want to go to Orlando. If I want to piss in their cereal, I want to go to Orlando. Put me next to Desmond Bane. Put me in there with Franz Wagner and Paolo, and let me show y'all that I can still be productive there.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to Orlando. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Though.
Like, what would they give up?
I think Orlando has draft capital. I don't think that they maybe have personnel, but I want to say that they have picks and stuff. Because if Orlando can figure that out,
okay.
I'm not going to lie to you, though. We just were saying how open the East is. You put him on Orlando, I'm going to be honest, if Philly isn't healthy, we might see the fight at the top be Orlando, Cleveland, and Atlanta. Because nobody wants to believe, but if Porzingis can give Atlanta 60, 65 games, dog, they in there. They are in there. That Atlanta team, me and you were just talking about that, Rob. That Atlanta team is dangerous.
Yes.
They are C4. They are right there.
The powder keg.
Yep. All you need to do is light that bitch in his own one in Atlanta. They could have the city of Atlanta jumping if they win 60 games. Easy. And then Boston is down. And then, let's be real. And I know we're supposed to be talking draft.
Then we'll get there.
Are we really afraid of the Sixers? How many of y'all are really afraid of the Sixers? You got two niggas. All you got to do is go slap them cross their knees and they bag out for the rest of the season. All right, let's be real.
Fair.
Mm-mm.
So
you're not worried.
Go ahead, bro.
Tyrese Maxey can't do it by himself. I was just saying, Maxey can't do it by himself.
So going back to the draft, like the dude Edgecombe, the combination between Edgecombe, whatever scraps of Embiid coming back, whatever scraps of PG coming back, and Maxey and McCain coming back, like that don't give you a little bit of pause, like just a little bit, like you get that six seed.
No.
Not even in a high pitched voice.
Mm-mm.
Well, yes, maybe because with, you know, Boston and Indy, when they star players hurt, I think they fall, you know.
Right.
They record's going to fall. So that might be the only reason why the Sixers might have a chance, you know, to get up there.
And think about it. We don't know what the Knicks are actually going to look like, whether they're going to trade Cat, what the new head coach is going to be. They just went through a draft without a head coach, so to speak. So, I mean, we don't know, like, what exactly the East is going to look like next year. Yeah, Indiana's hurt. Milwaukee is hurt and also looking to trade Giannis. Like, we really only got Orlando, Atlanta, Detroit, and that's really – and Cleveland as the teams that we really got to watch in the East. Everybody else got so much flux with them that it's like – This could be the meek inheriting the earth.
So I'm still not afraid of a nigga who can slip on a slippery been wet sign and be out 50 games. I am not afraid of that group. I just wax the floor everywhere and get y'all to taste your team. That's all I'm going to do. Because that team is so, and granted, history shows Paul George does not play games after he get paid. He give you about 40-something games, and he don't show up till the end of the contract.
Must be nice.
Whenever the end of the contract coming, all of a sudden his body is here top to bottom.
He got that wolf in me.
You know, he got that wolf in, and he can give you 70-something games, and he be like, so buy that new contract. Because as soon as he got paid, what happened? 40 games, nigga.
So you telling me Gershon Yusbilly doesn't put any fear in your heart? You telling me Jalen Hood Schifino doesn't put any fear in your heart? Are you really going to say Justin Edwards, Lonnie Walker, Ricky Council the fourth, four of them don't put no fear in your heart, dog?
The only fear that they put in my heart is that their names are ahead of me whenever I'm going to pick up my order at the deli. That's it. That's it.
In the words of New Day, who?
I don't even know if I said their names right.
Look, the East is wide open. Like I said,
no.
Cleveland, even if we take the Knicks at face value right now, okay? Cleveland, New York, Detroit, Orlando, Atlanta, probably going to be floating near the top. Milwaukee, we don't know. They don't know if they're going to keep Giannis, trade Giannis, whatever. Mm-hmm. Miami, maybe might get it together and sneak in there because, you know, Pat Riley doesn't like to be pushed out too often. We know how he like to act crazy and shit. Boston. Probably not going to be there.
If Miami can make a move for a good number one.
I think they need to look for Bradley Beal.
I'm sorry. For real?
That's it? Who else they going to get?
But for what?
Look, you pray on the NBA guys that they buy him out. And after they buy him out, you tell him, look, bro. I want to get you over here for X amount of dollars. They didn't already bought you out.
Okay. Sorry. If you're talking about a new contract, Bradley Beal, maybe. But
yeah, that's it.
Trade for Brett. You know, because to be real, the thing is, like, because they're talking about going after Jonathan Kuminga, and I'm like, I still don't know what Jonathan Kuminga is. It's been like 4-5 years at this point. I couldn't tell you. What the take? Like if I had to give an elevator speech about Jonathan Kuminga, I would say he really jumps high, and that's about it. I don't know what else to say about him.
That's why Steve Kerr didn't get a man a chance
because they were trying to basically build for the future and go with the past. You know what? This was what the point I was trying to think of. Remember, I was saying like there was a point that I had to come up with, and I was trying to think of that fucking 2023 or whenever the Warriors championship that they won. That was their oops, baby. Because this is what happened. They basically went and won that championship, and they got a whole lot more confidence that they basically shouldn't have had, and they should have built for the future. It was really their oops, baby. Like, it was just that one thing that basically kept the thing going and kept them thinking that we need to keep this thing going. And granted, Steph being what he's been, has also fucked that up too. Draymond being what he's been has fucked them up too. Them trying to do right by Clay has fucked them up too because Kuminga, Jordan Poole, I mean, I don't know if Jordan Poole would have basically been good, but Kuminga, Moses Moody, all these cats that they had waiting in the wing to take over this team basically have been kind of fucked up in their development because all they had to do is be role players the last few years from niggas that don't want to give up their spot. Or not just don't want to give up their spot, but niggas that are still good and is still premier players that basically have their spots that they taken up.
But didn't mean you had this discussion some years ago? Before Clay left, I said, if they gonna get rid of Clay, it need to be now.
Yeah,
he need to go now so them other dudes can step up and they held on to him. They held on to him, and then he waited too long. He left, and all of them other dudes ain't worth crap now. because they haven't developed. And the one dude you did have that got developed, he got punched by another dude. And like I said, we only overlooked that shit because you won a title. Because let's be real, if you don't win a title and he still goes average 20, because he averaged 20 in Washington, if you don't win that title, what are you going to say? Draymond, you fucked this shit up. We ain't win no title. I told you, he's the dude. You know how there's a series of unfortunate events, that little line of books, the limited snickets shit?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the difference. Mm-hmm. He has the series of fortunate events in his back pocket. Because look, if you don't win after KD leaves, all of that shit that you talk to KD,
mm-hmm.
now that shit looks bad. You punch Jordan Poole. You won. They overlooked that shit. But that's the problem. They overlooked so mm-hmm. much shit that he did. The team got fucked up because of this. Oh, Clay, we want to give you some money. I've been saying for years. Clay never learned how to dribble a ball. Steph learned how to dribble a ball. Clay never learned how to get his own shot. He still was a spot-up shooter. Clay needed to be gone whenever his draft was still, his stock was still about trade him. Go get some good shit. I know you don't want to leave him. Oh, we want to be loyal to him. Clay wanted as much money as possible. Which, do I blame him for being greedy? Mm-mm. No. But I do have to say this. Clay, you know you sat like 2 years and they paid you a hell of a lot of money. They only trying to cut a few dollars to make sure that y'all can win again. You know if you win again, the money is going to be there. Nope, want my money. All right, they played good by you. Steph and them stuck up for you. Now it kicks them in the ass in the long run. Because like you said, Moses Moody, Kuminga, none of them dudes developed. And Draymond need to learn to keep his goddamn hand. See, you know what? That's his problem, though. Ain't nobody ever punch him back. That's the problem. Ain't nobody ever punch him back.
That's because he know who to fuck with.
That's also true.
He ain't going to mess with nobody that's going to punch him back.
He ain't going after Isaiah Stewart.
Nah. Isaiah Stewart will lay no, him down. Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
That's one of them save Draymond. Fuck no.
They probably be like, look, hey Draymond, hey look, we're about to play Detroit. Don't you got something that you really need to do today? Like just whatever else. Like just something that's away from here. Like, do you have something else? Something that you can tend to that, you know, just take the night off. Just take the night off. You got it. Cool.
This is when I realized he only fuck with people he know ain't gonna fuck with him. That game against the Lakers when they had Ryan Artest of Metal World Peace, and he was tangled up and he was about to get crazy until he realized who that was, and he was like, "Oh, let me chill out."
like he was at 300, and then that Rose Royce Phantom pick that came up, and he was like, "Nope, I'm just 300. I am just a 300."
He ain't mess with that man. He ain't mess with that man. And I'm sorry, people, because I know we're talking about.
He got tangled and he looked back. He was like, oh no, I can't act crazy.
Not him. He might hurt me. But from what we saw in the NBA draft, because I'm going to get back on topic, do you guys realize that a third of the people in a draft were like traded up top between the trades and people moving? You had a third of it was all movement.
I didn't realize that.
That's 10 picks. People got swapped around in different places. It's kind of nuts.
It was a lot of pick moving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But look, a lot of moving and shaking. People made some good moves. Like I said, I feel good. The Pelicans made a good move. I'll say this. I know Ace Bailey may not have necessarily wanted to be at the Jazz, but he's there. I got to say, Dylan Harper's mom stole the show. Whenever she came up there, whenever he was drafted number two, everybody and their mama looking at her.
I didn't see her.
You didn't see Dylan Harper? Boy, go take a little peep at Dylan Harper's mama right there.
I'd have been like, and with the second and a half pick, we selected your mom. That's what we drafted.
But look, I saw a post hollering by Mrs. Harper. Mrs. Harper, come here, Mrs. Harper.
Hey, yo, good job, Ron.
That's
Jesus Christ.
Everybody was like, Mrs. Harper, Mrs. Harper. I think Kim and I think they were talking.
Turning the Bernie Mac off. What?
Oh my God.
They were ready whenever they saw her. The Sixers, I'm going to say this. BJ Edgecombe is a good pick for the Sixers. But you got two injury prone dudes, bro. This is going to come down to, in the end, if Paul George get injured, I'm sorry. He's the first one to go. He the first one to go. I'm selling him up the river. They can give me a bag of Chico sticks and a couple draft picks. I'll be all right, man. Because it's ridiculous with him. And the same thing with Embiid. The Sixers are going to have to, they're going to have to start the process over. Okay. Trey Johnson going to Washington. They getting a guy who could potentially be a star. I saw Malawi going to the Rockets. That's going to be interesting because I'm going to be honest, Phoenix. Well, Malawi, he got drafted by the Rockets, ended up in Phoenix. Phoenix now has five centers. So if you're looking for a center, you might
want to
go. You might want to go through Phoenix. Granted, Bola Bola is a free agent. I want to say he's going to be gone. So,
yeah, just hit up their Facebook market page. They got centers to go, centers for sale.
Yeah, yeah, and of course we got Derek Queen. We got him, Thomas Soiber, going to Oklahoma could be. That could set Oklahoma up for a longer run. Walter Clayton Jr. going to Utah. Utah could potentially try to unload with people that they do have and try to just build for the future. They literally could. They could say, hey, bro, got Ace Bailey. Let's see if I could trade Lower marketing, get a ball for Sexton, maybe keep some more of the young guys, see if we can make something shake. This was definitely an interesting NBA draft, especially with all of the movement.
But something I got to bring up when it comes to...
I got one take.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was about to say, this is my only take that I feel like the reason why it was so much movement. In this draft, I feel like it was so much movement because this draft, outside of Cooper Flag, there were no needle movers, I guess you could say.
You had some needle movers.
Like as far as, when I say needle movers, I say as in like, this instantly is going to turn the tide, like instantly, you know. So I feel like teams were okay. I'm not saying that's how they feel, not necessarily how we feel, or you know, this. I feel like they might have felt like, you know, none of these. We don't have to have this pick or that pick because nobody's going to instantly come in and be like, you know, the man and turn them around the team from bottom to top. That's probably why I feel like they might have.
Well, I mean, like when it comes to that, like I mean, we don't know what. We know that with the Mavericks, because I think they said it earlier, this is like the best team to get the number one pick, essentially, in a while. So, I mean, they don't have like a turnaround that they really need to have. They kind of are still, they're not in a rebuild, but it's like they traded away the guy that was their centerpiece for the longest, and now they got a guy that's basically supposed to be their centerpiece for the future while also having two Hall of Famers in Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. And so, they're pretty much set as far as that goes. I mean, with Dylan Harper, that is something that you could basically say, we don't know what's going to happen with Victor Wembanyama and those blood clots. Now they're going to basically have the coach, even though it's the coach that's been coaching them. But, like, Pop is gone, so now they basically are coming up. Like, Dylan Harper going number two for them is a big deal. Because, like, now they got more players that basically, with De'Aaron Fox still being there, they have more bodies and more people that basically you have to look at with Stephen Castle being what he was last year, Victor coming back, and now Dylan Harper. I mean, they are set to be big. You know, it's just dependent on how good the West is going to maintain. So I mean, I mean, even with the Suns, like we talked about it before the show, with them going after Mark Williams and getting Malawak, they've gotten that piece at least sit, you know, it's locked down. Now you got Devin Booker basically to have a lob threat, or if you want to have a lob threat, or bring a point guard in, maybe bring in CP3 back. You know, that's always a possibility. You know, but basically bring in a veteran point guard to basically command that offense, which they've been needing to have since they basically even before they traded KD. But like, yeah, I mean, they can be. It's not something. Yes, to your point, like it's not too many casts that's going to basically say that you could say that they're changing the whole fortune of this team. But it's a lot of casts that's going to supplement these teams and put them in a better direction than what they was before.
Yeah,
and, I agree with that.
In the meat of West, it's going to be some moving and shaking in the West. Whenever everything is going to shake down, some teams going to go up, some teams going to go down. Zach LaVine is another piece that's possibly going to be out there because the Kings said that they want to move him. How good is Memphis going to be now? Golden State, what are y'all doing? Minnesota, where are y'all going to maintain? Denver, what are y'all going to do? Lakers, what are y'all going to do? Because I'm going to be honest, Houston adding KD and kind of keeping stuff where they have it at, they kind of got one of the missing pieces that they needed because they have Reed Shepherd, who is, I believe, to be the next up guard for them. And he's nice. He's like mini Steve Nash. I like him a lot. If he can come in there and play very well, especially with a KD on the court and with that defense that they have, even though KD's 36, going to be 37 this year, the dude can still flat out ball. He can go get you 25. And that's what you were missing with Jalen.
Yeah, at least 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jalen Green just was so bad, inconsistent, like shooting-wise. It was just like, okay, what do we do with you? And they got rid of him, and they managed to keep a lot of their young pieces. So, Amen Thompson, he's a, you know, defensive player to your candidate. The guy, high engine motor. He may not can shoot the best, but you know he's going to steal the ball. He's going to block. He can guard your best guy. He's in there. And to give them an efficient piece like KD, I think it still lets the guys around them grow. But in the stretch, hey, get that big 7 foot, create a character, the ball real quick, and let him do his thing, and let him get us some buckets too.
Yeah. Now speaking of KD, can I talk to y'all about Love? Oh. And here's what I'm talking about. So like when we're talking about, or when I keep hearing about, you know, with OKC, just kind of going back to that. And like the winning formula, because everybody said that they, you know, gave everybody the blueprint, the winning formula of how to basically create a team, create a champion, everything like that. Everything I thought about was like, this sounds like what somebody would say, how do you find love? Like, it's like, hey, if you just go to church, if you just get your haircuts every now and then, if you just go to the gym and you do that, this is how you're going to find love. This is how you're going to find a companion. This is how you're going to do this. When it's like, really? They just need to basically keep some level of consistency like Oklahoma City did. Because the thing with Oklahoma City, they won with these factors. They basically said, this is our plan. We're going to build around it. We're going to draft well and get lucky, basically getting Chet and some other players. And we're going to nurture this talent and basically do everything we can to supplement it and not do anything brash. Like going out to get Isaiah Hartenstein, going out to get an Alex Caruso, two vets that basically can help them kind of navigate this whole thing. Basically, that's what I would say is a formula, but it's not something that you could just say, hey, let's everybody do it. Because what you can do is what the Suns did and just say, hey, we're going to go get big three and we're going to basically get a big three. three. Who's going to play defense? Nah, don't worry about it because we got these three guys. Okay, who's going to basically handle the rock? I don't know. Don't worry about it. We got these three guys. Like, doing shit like that where it's copycat, where you don't basically think about what all it took to go into that, is how people fuck up with Love. People go with oh, I see that so-and-so is like this. So-and-so is like that. I just want that for me. Motherfucker, that ain't for you, because you don't see basically the bad days in the paradise. You need to basically worry about keeping yourself consistent, keeping yourself right, and basically doing what you need to do to keep yourself good. Have a plan, go with it. Don't think that you got to mimic somebody else or what you see as far as the outside kind of brochure of their lives and see basically what's going on. Do what's best for you. See, then now we having basically a spiritual moment here. Because think about it is what I'm trying to teach you and what I'm trying to tell y'all is what OKC did. Keep on keeping on. Make sure you know who you are. Make sure you looking in that mirror and you understand and know who you're looking back at. And once you do that, you will be a champion, just like the Oklahoma City Thunder. You will basically have the same success and be able to strive and spit on your screen because that was an accident and basically do the things that you basically need to do what's best for you and your future and maybe even somebody else's because you are making them good. So make sure you are not mimicking chemistry. Make sure you are making chemistry. Making sure you are doing the things that you need to do for you and else and everyone else. That's what you need to focus on. Don't focus on mimicking. Focus on making. That's all I got, man.
And that was Rob Sermon on NBA.
That's my goddamn organ.
I'm glad that's the turn it took. When Rob said KD in Love, I thought he was going to bring up the Brittany Griner rumors. I don't know. That's just what my rhyme.
Now I don't even know what the fuck is going on. Like, because I'd
hope okay. He never. I'd hope he never.
You know, we don't know who is putting who through the mattress. You know, but hey,
fair enough.
Damn, that was good. Now I know that we spent a lot of time on
the rumors of like a few months ago when they was hanging.
I know that we spent a lot of time on NBA guys, but now we have to go. We're gonna move a little bit quicker now. So it's halfway through the MLB season, okay? And there's a game that me and Rob like to play called Him and Them. We're probably gonna go through this one. Rob, would you like me to start either in the American League or the National League?
Let's go American. Let's go American first.
American League. Okay. We're going to start at the top. We're going to work our way down, going east, back, west. New York Yankees, him or them?
I'm going to go them. I think that they basically going to have the Tampa Bay Rays who are coming up and basically having a lot of their guys getting healthy and getting good. Junior Camargo is basically rising to be that MVP candidate, even though Aaron Judge is going to basically take it and run with it. But no, Junior Camargo basically is coming up. That pitching is coming up. I got them as basically the team that's going to supplant the Yankees as the AL East division champ. So I'm going to go say them. Who you got?
I got to go against you, Rob. I'm going to say that they're him right now until further notice. Okay? And the reason is, even though Tampa Bay is coming up, I don't know if they're ready to take that next step just yet. Maybe not this year, but in the future, Yankees, you better watch out. That checkbook ain't going to be big enough. You lost Soto. You don't know how much more longer Judge is going to want to play. You don't know how much longer Stanton's going to be there. Just because you got rid of the rule of we don't have to shave no more, don't mean people about to flock there, okay?
All right. So,
don't be too into it. What about you? You think they're him and them, Visky?
As much as I do not like the New York Yankees, you know, they're going to have to be him right now because... Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're going to have to be him until... They be dethroned until it shows that checks ain't cashing and they can't buy a team no more. So right now I got them.
Tampa Bay Rays, Rob, him and them.
I'm saying they're him because I think they're gonna win the division. But I thought we were gonna move on to the next team. Our next division.
Yeah. We can go to Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit Tigers, him and them.
So I'm gonna basically say, because I'm gonna say him, but I'm gonna say him only because it seems like this division can't really figure out what the fuck it wants to do. Like, we got the Guardians is basically, you know, 500 right now. I know Jose Ramirez was hurt yesterday, but we put that Maddox on him with Sonny Gray. Shout out to Sonny Gray, dog. Like, basically had to put that Maddox on the fucking Guardians, basically. Complete game, one hitter, 89 pitches. He's so damn great. But now, like, Twins basically fell off. Seems like the Royals have fell off as well. I think they're going to be him as far as winning this division, but I don't, because they got a lot of people just moving in and out, even though Tarik Skubal was great and probably going to Cy Young again this year, I just think that they're them as far as the rest of the American League.
Jarvis, you think Detroit Tigers, him and them in the AL Central?
I got them right now because I feel like Cleveland is gonna get it together. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could come up, overtake the lead. And I just feel like, honestly, I don't trust Detroit to hold it together the full season.
Thank you.
From what I've seen and witnessed from Detroit, I'm like, it'll have to be a big fall by Cleveland to me for them to make it. Or it's going to have to be a big fail by Cleveland. Because if they stay the course, I think they'll, you know, get over that 500 hump. And they're going to make a run for Detroit's first place.
Now, Nate, who do you got, him or them, man?
I'm putting Detroit as him. I'm going to tell you why. Yeah, Cleveland looks good, but their pitching, Cleveland's pitching is horrible at times. They are ass a 9, ass a 10, ass a 11, as you have said before, Rob. Cleveland will break your heart with their pitching. Yes, they have good bats, but they will break your heart. And Detroit, we talked about Detroit last year. Detroit, yeah, they made a playoff. They didn't move and shake anything. But this year, a little bit faster start, 50-win team. They're only, look, it's 250-win teams, and they're one of them. We can't deny that. We cannot deny that. So I'm going to give him right now. Now, if we go American League West, Astros, Jarvis, him or them.
I don't know if the Brumigos world knew about this. I am a real big anti-Astros person, you know. So, for that reason, not only that reason, but for one of the reasons, I'm going them. Mm-hmm. I do not want to see the Astros win the division again. I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of seeing them. But... because Altuve is in a slump right now, so hopefully he keep that going. But Mariners, for some reason, have reeled your boy, J.P. Crawford, Cal Riley. I've been watching a lot of their games. I feel like the Astros, they up there. They keep winning for some reason, but the luck can only last so long. So I think Cal and J.P. can push the Seattle Mariners to the top. And I'm pulling for them.
What about you, Rob? Him and them for the Astros?
I got them as him, man. Like, the team that basically went and traded Kyle Tucker, went and traded Alex Bregman, is basically still 16 games over 500 in that division, in that league. I mean, this is a team that's set to basically do something big. Maybe not the big things. I mean, Yordan Alvarez isn't as what he was, but, you know, and Cam Smith hasn't really come through. Like, yeah, you know, I guess they think that, you know, he will. But, you know, this team is still kept afloat, still got excellent pitching with Framber Valdez and stuff like that. Like, no, man, like, this is still a good-ass team that basically, granted, Kyle Riley, the big dumper, that man has basically been absolutely 32 home runs before the All-Star break as a catcher, dog. Like, you don't, like, no. Let me say that one more time for the people that don't know. 32 home runs, switch hitting catcher is fucking impossible for the All-Star break. You don't see catchers hit 30 home runs in a fucking season. This man hit them like 80 something games. This ain't something to sneeze at. That man is doing yeoman's work, but I just can't see the Mariners pulling it off and basically supplanting. Like, they're about 6.5 games out right now. Nah, man, I got the Astros winning that division. I got them as him, and I got them as basically making the ALCS.
Sorry, Jarvis, I have to go against Sean with Rob. Houston's pitching is what's keeping them there. I'm sorry. We've been watching a lot of Mariner games, and they have been. They have been pulling it out. It's just Houston's pitching is so much better. And I look at them and I'm like, damn, can Seattle catch them? Is it possible? And then I think about it and I'm like, I don't know, Seattle. I don't think that you're going to catch them. Those guys are running away with it. And Houston, it's Houston's division to lose.
Correct.
I feel like it's their division to lose. I don't see the Angels as a threat. We know the Rangers have bats, but they can't pitch worth a damn. We know this. Look, I'll be honest. The Rangers have better luck striking out.
Rangers actually got good pitching this year. They got good pitching. It's just that hitting ain't really been working out.
Well, You've had better pitching this year. Your bats went cold. Yeah. I'd almost rather had a bat be hot right now than a pitching. Because at least if we boat race this, maybe I got a chance at more games. The Rangers, okay, now that I think about it, I granted that their pitching has been better. But they're 9 games back. Surprisingly, they're plus in run differential. But somehow you're 9 games back, you're under 500. What's going on? You're not.
Yeah.
I can't say that you're the team below you, the Athletics. Like I said, we always say a lot of raw talent with their team. They just got to find it.
Yep.
And they've had spurts this year where it looks like they're finding it. And it's like if they ever get consistency going, they're going to be an issue.
Yep.
So that's why I just have to say, I can only see Houston winning this division. Now, we go to the NL. Phillies, Rob, him or them.
So, I am a Phillies hater myself. Similar to my boy with the Astros. So, I want to basically say they are going to be them. So I will say they're going to be them because I see the Mets winning this division. Similar to basically what's going on with the AL West, or AL East. Like, basically, the Mets, they still got a great team. They still got, Mark Vientos, I still believe in you. Even though you haven't done much of anything yet, I still believe that you're going to be able to pull it out. I think that they might make some moves, to basically bolster up this team because they do still got Pete Alonso, still do got Francisco Lindor, still got Juan Soto for a boatload more years and a boatload more money. And they still got a nice line. Griffin Canning just basically went down with an Achilles. It's still a good team. I want to basically head on the Phillies, and this is giving me a great opportunity too. So, them are the Phillies.
Jarvis, him and them, Phillies.
Basically, if your name is not the Atlanta Braves in that division,
get the fuck out of here. This nigga.
Atlanta Braves.
Go ahead. Because
after we have the All-Star break located in
Atlanta.
Oh, Cobb County, really. It's Cobb County.
We are going to make a push for the number one spot. We are making a push for the number one spot. After All-star break.
So when your arms get tired and you don't basically get there and you still stick at third, what's going to happen with that? Like, how do you just be like, let me get a Gatorade? Like, what happens? Like, you're going to make a push, but you're like, God damn, this shit heavy. And then you're going to sit your ass right back down there.
But, and I'm going to come over here and say, I told y'all.
Tell us what? See, even the fucking camera know you lying.
But
this nigga fell out. Like, this nigga here.
Because it ain't want me to see the BS y'all was spewing. But realistically, though, I agree with Rob, though. I see the Mets probably coming up and taking over the number one spot on this one. Because the Phillies, I just don't never have trust in the Phillies in that aspect. I think Juan Soto could probably catch his third gear and push him over.
And I have to agree with y'all.
That's my pick on that.
I just have to agree with y'all. If you asked me this 2-3 weeks ago, whenever Juan Soto was struggling with his bat, I'd be like, man, Philly look like they might run away with this. But the Mets are heating up. Look, I know the Subway Series may not happen, but I'm going to let you know this. The way the Mets are heating up, Yankees, you might want to watch your ass, okay? You might want to watch your ass right now, man. Yankees, because it's getting serious across the way. It's getting serious across the way, and y'all have to look out. Now, NL Central, Cubs, Rob, I know that there's a little, sometimes it's either vitriol or praise with these fools, one way or the other. Him or them for the Chicago Cubs?
I'm actually gonna say him. I still think, like, look, I picked the Cubs before the season to win the Central. I'm sticking on that. I don't have a reason to stay, you know, go away from it. They gonna need to make some moves though, because they gonna need to basically make sure that bullpen is good. They got the bats. The bats is good. The offense is good. Like, they still, like, run differential. They had plus 97, like, which is one of the tops in all of baseball right now. Which is actually it is the top outside of the Yankees. But, like, you know, the Cubs are the class of that division, are the class of the National League, I would say, outside of the Dodgers. But, like, yeah, no, I still got them as him.
Yeah.
How's that objectivity, motherfucker?
Okay. I'm going to take this one real quick. Look, you're right. But I will say this. That division is tight. Mm-hmm. That division is tight right now.
It's tight,
like you said. They will have to shore up their pitching to completely seal this out. I almost thought that you were gonna say that the Cardinals were gonna make a push at some point.
Now I will say this: the Cardinals are much better than I would have thought they were. They're a very fun team. They up 1-0 against the Guardians right now. They're a very, very good. They're a good team on the edge of very good. Like, they just basically got to figure out. They have to basically find the bullpen identity, which is coming because they really want to believe in Riley O'Brien, and he seemingly is starting to work out. Ryan Helsley is starting to basically make a push. Kyle Leahy, like, they're basically, once they get that bullpen shored up, and they could kind of say, like, okay, we can rely on somebody to take the ball after this, after Michaelis possibly fucks up, and then basically we need somebody to do something with this. They are trying to figure it out and really starting to get there. Neil still need more Michael McGreevy minutes or Mike McGreevy innings. I need Michael McGreevy innings. Bill DeWitt, Mo, Kane, Bloom, McGreevy minutes, goddammit. But I think this whole division actually is starting to make a push, because the Reds are actually coming up, the Brewers coming up. Like, this is starting to get really nice. I'm liking this.
Jarvis, him and them, Chicago Cubs.
I definitely gotta go him. I like the look of the Cubs, especially from what I'm seeing. The bats, you know, and when they get them going, they can get them going. And the pitching hasn't been bad. They control it, and, you know, don't give up too much. I think they're in good position. Also, Rob spent a long time when he could have just said, "We ass." You know, you didn't have to go to that long explanation about the Cardinals. You could have just said, "We ass," and shorten it up. But anyway, just had to poke one at you right
now. I knew that it was coming. Now, last but not least, the L.A. Dodgers, Jarvis, him or them.
Unfortunately, I gotta go him. It's just, I think they got too much right now. Pitching, the bats, everything. I don't see anybody catching up to the Dodgers. I don't know if, you know, San Francisco might try to make a push, you know, getting Rafael Devers, and, you know, the Padres aren't making a push like I thought so at the beginning of the season. You know, the Fernando ain't doing his part. So the Dodgers are just too much muscle. And this is basically what it is.
Bruh. Dodgers. Him.
Baby, they're him. Nah, I'm Visky, dog. Like they still got it. They still got depth. They got money. They got people. Like it's gonna be hard to basically supplant them. And I mean, the teams that are still there, like you said, with the Giants, they're still making a push. Padres still making a push, but it's just like, nah, man, right now Dodgers are him, man.
And I have to agree. Dodgers are him. Arizona went down, a lot of injuries going on for them. That checkbook, look, that checkbook gotta look like a muscle lifting a ton, bro.
Baby.
That checkbook over there wins out. I don't know. Look, if I was Steinbrenner, them, I'd go look at my checkbook and be like, get in the goddamn gym. Because this checkbook don't do the same thing that checkbook do on the West Coast, apparently. Because they are looking like they're in prime form to go out here again. And dare I say it, maybe go back to back. World Series, if they go back to back, it's like,
whew. Of any teams that I can remember in the last however many years, like, they are the team that I could see that go back to back.
That team is strong over there. That team is strong. Shohei might hit his 30th home run today. They got a lot of offense. They got good pitching. Their bats have been solid. It looked like even whenever the stars go cold, the other guys just kick in and they're like, we got y'all of it. We're going to pull this along. And that in itself is crazy. Not to mention, Shohei's back in the pitching rotation. So now you got to deal with him. Not only do you got to deal with his bat, but you got to deal with whenever he decides, hey, I'm coming out there and pitch 6-7 minutes. This is a dangerous team. This is more than a dangerous team. And while I'm here in the NL West, I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Colorado, get your shit together. Yeah. It's no excuse. Look, y'all just lost 10-6. And right now, the game just started for y'all. And I don't know if this is going to be a good one because I checked the ESPN, and ESPN is already picking the Brewers 78% to beat y'all, and it's the first inning, okay? So, you know where you stand with them.
They ain't ready.
They're not ready. Nah, in life.
Still got a chance, 36 games.
If they go on an awesome losing streak and get to 100 wins before they get to 20 losses, I will look. I will let them know. Hey, sell a team though. Sell a team. See who won. Put a for sale sign on this. Put a for sale sign on it. Now, in lieu of us talking about baseball, we have one more thing. Rob put this out here, and we all feel some type of way about this. You got to give Ketel Marte his flowers. That man stood out there whenever a fan heckled him about his deceased mother. That man cried tears of sadness because of this. And we must give him his flowers because, like I told you, Rob, if it was me, that had to come get me from jail that night, though. That had to come get me. I'd have ran up in the stands. I'd have been like, is you going to come down here and meet me? Jump across the bullpen and we're going to fight right here on the diamond. Right now, we're going to fight. If you win, you win. But you ain't about to win. this is, I might stomp him with them cleats on, though.
Yeah.
It's over for him. You cannot do what he did. It is okay if we have, you know, the regular type of heckling. You talk about him, his batting, his short glove. I don't care, but you don't talk about that man, mama. You don't do that. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I 100% with you. I agree. Like, this is, yeah, you don't get personal with this, man. Like, ain't, even if you didn't know, like, his mom was dead, because I didn't know, I'll be honest. I didn't know his mom passed away. You don't go personal. There ain't no reason to go personal, you know. And I can say shout out to the White Sox, shout out to Diamondbacks for having man's back, like, you know, and basically cheering them on and being like, hey, no, we don't condone this. We ain't with this. Because, nah, man, you know, some people, they'll be assholes in the crowd and you still won't see, like, the crowd, like, the teams basically say, hey, we ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do, you know, anything about this, or we only going to do so much. It's like, nah, man, they say, hey, we're going to ban this man from all these stadiums and we're going to basically, you know, cheer you on and basically say, hey, shout out to you. So, nah, man, shout out to y'all for doing that.
Yeah. Big shout out to them, cause wow,
yeah, definitely. That's real disgusting, bro. That's disgusting. Mm. Bro. No matter how you feel about a team, a player, to attack someone's deceased relative, mom, anybody, like, that's just crossing the line. And I'm with Price on this. Like, yeah, I'd have probably been in the stands, you know.
Oh,
couple charges, you know. Yeah, you know, it would have went down. They would have. They probably would have shut the game down. No, I don't know what would have happened. I probably would have blacked out. It probably would have been it, you know?
Yeah. And flashed out. It would have been on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Kudos. Yeah, we'd have been on SportsCenter. It'd have been a new malice at the palace.
Oh, yeah. I might have tried to kill him, maybe. I would have ran up and looked like Dave Chappelle said on that rap, run up in your crib like CJ from San Andreas. I'm with it at that point. You can't do that. You can't do that. Now, as we go from, you know, the baseball diamond to the big old 100-yard field where they throw touchdowns and interceptions and stuff like that, there's a guy who, you know, me and Rob have criticized him a bunch of times, and we're probably still going to criticize him because I don't care, because what is he going to do?
Hmm?
Is this it truly for Aaron Rodgers? Rob, do you think that this could be his last stop? Do you think that this is his last go around? Is this his last rodeo?
Part of me does think this is going to be it, just because, like, I think that he's tired of this. Like, and when I say of this, of like being the spectacle. Well, actually, I don't think he's tired of being a spectacle. I think he's tired of just being on the field. I think he's going to basically do some more weird shit somewhere else and basically stop holding teams for hostage. I think that him saying that everybody wasn't bending the knee to kind of trying to get him and trying to basically use him as their quarterback or doing whatever they can. Like, it was what? It was only the Steelers and the Vikings for the most part that was really trying to get at him, even though there was more quarterback hungry teams that needed somebody. So, nah, man, I think this is it, because I think this is his moment of clarity. And as this season goes on, depending on how it actually goes down, I think he's going to basically be like, nah, man, I'm straight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jarvis, I'm going to let you go next before I light this man on fire.
Yeah, I know you're going to light him up, man, quick. Like, yeah, I think he sees the writing on the wall. I saw an interview he did yesterday or day before yesterday. And it sounds like, you know, he's like, yeah, this is it. That's why I only wanted a one-year deal. And, you know, you can see that his time, his era is gone. You know, everybody from his era is gone. No, he's seen it last year that he can't produce what he's been producing. Even though he still has a little bit, it's not gonna fly in this. You know, his age and the quality of football that's being played. You know, it's time to just go out on a high horse. I don't want to see him as a shadow or a piece of himself. You know, I still want to remember him as that Aaron Rodgers. So go out on a high. Don't really go out like Brett Favre did, you know, on the stretch or nothing like that, you know, getting injured and stuff. So, yeah, just hang it up. You had a good career, and you got bank. So that's it for me.
unlike them, I hope that you go out losing almost every game. I hope that you are the first Steelers quarterback to go out there and go into the negative with this. I do not want to see you out here. I do not want to see you play. I hope that you feel the need to say, I don't like people like this guy Price who don't want to see me do this. Because you've held teams hostage. You've been a spreader of germs and of a disease, a virus that was killing people, and you were lying to the masses about what you did. Okay? I hope that for every NFL week before you go into the game that you stub your pinky toe on random objects as you walk to put your cleats on, okay? I hope that you trip on your run out. I hope that you trip on your run out and then tumble and get grass all over your jersey before the game even begins. Okay? I hope 30 interceptions upon you this year, okay? I hope for you to have a Jameis Winston type year, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, with a losing record, okay? Because I do not want to see this anymore. I do not want to see or hear you holding teams hostage. You knew where the hell you wanted to go. What was the point in dragging this on, okay? You already destroyed the Jets. People were willing to leave because they didn't want to deal with you anymore.
And
you
that's the Jets.
Yeah, and that's the Jets, though. Mm-hmm. You got a coach fired. You had personnel not wanting to be there because of you. What more has to be said about a person like you? Because I feel like you're probably going to want to butt heads with Mike Tomlin to a certain degree. You're not going to be the Ben Roethlisberger that he can talk to. Hey, Ben, this is what we do. Because you're going to say, well, I won one on the other side. I don't need your advice because that's the type of shit that you say. That's the type of shit that you do. And it's unreasonable of you. You've been given chance after chance after chance, and people have tried to give you the benefit of the doubt, even through coronavirus, which whenever they went that far, me and Rob said, no, we are not giving you this G-Pass where they gave it to you. Hell no. People died and you was lying about what you were doing. Granted, people could say, oh, it was older people. I don't care. Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to realize that you, as a person, as an NFL player, this needs to be your last ride like the Ghost Rider. You need to ride off over there and just be done with this. Be done. Mm-hmm. Let people move on. Quit holding teams hostages. Because, let's be real, the one dickhead move that he could have did is if he would have went and signed somewhere else, and the Steelers would have looked around and said, we let both guys go that we had before him, and then he doesn't do this. You have to have a winning season now. And you have to win the playoff game over there. And they're looking for you to go further than the playoff game. But I don't think that you're going to make it outside of that. Because I see for some way, shape, or reason, you're going to get in an argument, probably with Mike Tomlin, and this is going to go south. This is going to go south, and then I'm going to laugh. And I'm going to laugh heartily about it. I'm going to have more laughs than laughs should even have about this. And I'm
not laughing.
Oh, and I'm gonna enjoy it because I know some way, shape, or form he's gonna mess this up in the long run for them. As good as much as they put that team together, and I remember telling Rob, they went and got DK. They must be about to keep Russell because that was his favorite target. It gives him another weapon, and they let Russ go for you. If you do not perform with those two receivers and Freiermuth as your tight end, and you do not give them enough to win, they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, we could have just kept what the hell we had if this was going to be the same thing.
Fact. I agree with that statement, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I also hope that you have to see, goddamn, who would I want to hit you? On Myles Garrett to hit you.
Yeah. Myles Garrett been looking for a man, too.
Yeah. I hope Myles Garrett get what he's been looking for. I hope Myles Garrett get everything he's been looking for with you. You better run because he's going to get you. You don't know. He got fresh money and new motivation. Yeah, you might want to look at it. He's been looking for you. So you might want to duck.
Right.
Now, before we get to our last topic about the NBA, because we have to talk about some standout performances, we have a question for you guys. It's going to be a poll question. Us here at Brumigos Podcast, we're rap, hip-hop fanatics, you know. We listen to all kind of good jazz like that. But we want to know, can you be one of the singular absolute greats if you never put out your own solo album? This is a question that we had. I think that we all see this one maybe a little bit differently. Me personally, I feel like you need a solo album.
You need a few.
Because
I think you need a body of work that basically says that, hey, here's what I've done. I've basically put out these works. You know, it's kind of like an athlete. Like, here's what I did on the field in my individual performances. You know, some people will basically put the team in there. Like, we've had the conversations about, you know, team accolades versus individuals, like what somebody has done and what somebody's contributed, especially when we talk about MVPs and so forth. Like, if you have not really put out your own solo album, I don't know. And this is why we want to ask this question. I don't know if you could really call yourself one of the greats if you ain't really put out a solo album, like just like something that you can basically be like, hey, this is what I did. Not, you know, the other analogy I think of, like, if you basically, you know, because we watch wrestling, tag team wrestler. If you basically been in a tag team your whole life and basically never really ventured out and had your own singles run, it's kind of hard to basically be saying that you are one of the best that has ever done it singularly. You might be one of the best teams, but, you know, you're not one of the best that we've seen as a individual. So, yeah, we'll put this on the polls on YouTube, on Blue Sky, and everything like that. So,
yeah. Kind of sparked from the.
But let's not look for the fact that, you know, Biggie only had two. And, you know, everybody got him on the Mount Rushmore. Well,
he's like that Gale Sayers type. So, like, I think with him, it's like because of what he did in those two, he gets more credit than, like, some people that did it in, like, you know, five or seven or, you know, however many other albums. Like, he gets credit for those, you know.
Yeah. And he street cred carries him a little bit. Now, our last topic as we switch back to NBA. There was a lot of good games this year in the NBA. But what really surprised us is the amount of great performances, okay? Which the highest scoring performance this year in the NBA was Jokic, 61 points. Actually, it was 61 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. It was a 60-point triple-double, which is crazy work in the NBA. But we just wanted to reflect upon some of the great performances that we saw this year. I gotta throw this one out here. Before San Antonio got De'Aaron Fox, he went for 60. He had a night for 60. Giannis had a 59. Curry had a 56. Jokic even had a 56. Who else? Jamal Murray even had a double nickel. He had a 55. Jalen Brunson had a 55. We have a huge uptick. Even though the person that Jarvis wants to call has the paper title, Shai Gilgeous. Shai Gilgeous is in. He has three top 20 performances, and then one at 21, where he's had 48 points or more, like four times this season. Though, Jarvis, you can't hate on that. That man was out there hooping. So, what do y'all think?
He could put the ball in the hoop. No.
Who are some of y'all favorite performances this year, or ones that were memorable to y'all?
The 60-point triple doubles, yeah, that was the one, I guess, for me, because it was just like that was nuts, you know. Like, I ain't never thinking that on April Fools, you know. Like, we actually saw it, unlike we saw the, you know, 100-point game from Wilt. But yeah, now that one would be the game that I would say, the 60-point triple double.
What about you, Jarvis?
All right, mine, same person, different game. Not as many points. The 30-20-20 game. 30 points, 20 boards, 20 assists. That's insane.
Yeah.
Just to have the fathom to do to score that much, to assist that much. That means you scored on assisted on like damn near all the fucking points.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. Crazy. That reminded me of some Hakeem Olajuwon type shit right there.
I got another one. He was doing it for the old timers this night. James Harden with his 50. James Harden is going to go down as a guy who was a top-notch scorer, and he can really pass the ball. It looks like that ring is just going to avoid him. Out of his reach. Him and Westbrook.
Every area it happens.
Yeah. Somebody loses it no matter how close they are, how great they are. It's like, I'm right there. And granted, you know, the Warriors got him 1 year. Whenever he went to like the conference finals, he was close. Well, I think he was what, a round out or so in Philly, but Embiid was getting hurt. Like I said, Embiid always hurt. It's been some crazy ones.
Was Harden was at the Rockets when they blew the 3-1 lead?
Yep. That was that one. And one other memorable one, one of the younger guys, Paolo Banchero. He had a 50. He had a 50, 13 and 9. Almost. That was another one. That was another nice one. And of course Shea Gildas had a
good one.
Like I told him, Orlando might be one of those moves and shakers this year. It could easily happen. The NBA, the Eastern Conference is wide open for the taking.
Definitely.
And we don't know what the West will be this year. But that being said, let's see what my guys, what do you guys want to say before we get up out of here?
VC, you go first.
I just only want to say, you know, it is pay-per-view day. Y'all go check out Night of Champions, which I call Night of Matches, if you want. It has ended already. If you have not seen the spoilers, go check it out. Something pissed me off, but y'all, I ain't going to spoil it for y'all. But just that little reminder.
He
go watch Night
was
of Champions.
Heated. I still don't know what happened, but he was heated.
We know. All we know is he came in here and he was like, what?
Boy, 38 hot. Just mad.
The headphones almost went through the TV, but yeah, go check it out, man. That's all I'm gonna say on that one. But yeah, love y'all.
What about you, bro?
All right, good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Smith. Good night, rest easy to Dave Parker, to former Pirates member. So this shirt, this is a absolute coincidence. If you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys bopping. This is his shirt. It's famously pictured. His shirt. Did not realize he was going to pass away today. I'm like, say, I saw it on my phone. It popped across the screen. Like, yeah. So RIP to the man that was the purveyor of this shirt. RIP to the great baseball player of those We Are Family Pirates back in the 70s with Willie Starr, Joe, and all of them. So, man, you know, props to, or excuse me, T's and P's to the family. We at Bramigos basically wish you guys peace in, you know, everything that's going on. So, yeah.
Now, that being said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it, like, subscribe. Remember, you can subscribe, but don't call us, you know.
Not one thing.
We're Bramigos Podcast.
$3.99. Yep,
$3.99. We're always here dropping you guys content every weekend. Be on the lookout. Even hit the little bell as a reminder. That way you can always see whenever everything is uploaded. You can get right. Yep. So that is us, Bramigos Podcast, and we're out of here.
Deuce.
Could win too.